Let's talk about maritime bankruptcy cases. They're normally going to appear under three chapters of the bankruptcy code, Chapter 7, Chapter 11, and Chapter 15. Chapter 7 is what we call the liquidation, right? Your debtor gets to exempt assets, corporation will exempt assets, and the non-exempt assets are what a Chapter 7 trustee who gets appointed in every case will sell those assets and distribute that to the benefit of all creditors under a priority system that's set out by the code. A corporation who files Chapter 7 is in a tricky position, normally not entitled to a discharge of its debts. But under a normal circumstance in a Chapter 7 case, you know, if you were an individual, the personal liability would get discharged, but a secured creditor could retain its liens and enforce the debt. Typical situation, you can sell, in a typical individual situation, you can sell the car. If there's a deficiency, you can't go after the debtor for the deficiency. But in a large corporation selling a Chapter 7 case, you're just liquidating assets and trying to cut as many deals as you can, maybe enter into settlements, and the assets get distributed. Chapter 11 and Chapter 15 is where I see most of my maritime bankruptcy cases. The purpose of Chapter 11 is to provide the tools for a company to get a fresh start. The goal is to try to bind all creditors to a Chapter 11 plan of reorganization. Creditors vote on the plan, and if you get enough creditors in enough classes to vote, those creditors can bind non-voting and even objecting creditors to a Chapter 11 plan. It's a really unique facet of our case where a debtor will propose a plan and creditors get to vote on that plan. Chapter 15 is near and dear to my old dear Professor Westbrook's heart, and that was when the United States adopted the model law on cross-border insolvency, promulgated by the United Nations Commission on International Trade Law, what everybody knows as UNCITRAL. In the United States, what we normally see is a foreign entity would begin an insolvency proceeding outside of the United States, but may have assets or some ships that are stationed in the United States. And so that foreign debtor will appoint a representative. That representative will then file a proceeding in a bankruptcy court where those assets are located, where a bankruptcy court would have venue, and will try to establish a foreign non-main proceeding, essentially trying to provide some protection and for that foreign proceeding and to seek a bankruptcy court order enacting application of what I will talk about in a minute, the automatic stay, and other relief necessary to protect assets of the debtor in the United States. Foreign debtor doesn't want someone running to the United States courts and liquidating assets. The goal is to try to have an orderly process. Let's see, some major Chapter 11 maritime cases. There have been plenty of them. I just thought I'd give you a flavor. Many of them have been filed here in the Southern District of Texas. You see some in New York, and you see some in Delaware. Fortunate enough that Southern District of Texas has become somewhat of a very well-known place to file Chapter 11 cases. It's probably second largest in the United States now. So you're very likely to see a large Chapter 11 bankruptcy case filed, or a Chapter 15 case, if there are assets that a bankruptcy court would have venue here in Houston. Major Chapter 15 maritime cases that you might have known. So let's talk a little bankruptcy. And there are two main sections that I want to make sure that you're aware of, and that is 541, what we call property of the estate. The minute a bankruptcy petition is filed, and you can file it electronically, or you can file it by handing it to the clerk, or quite frankly, during COVID, you can email it now. Immediately upon the filing of a bankruptcy case, all legal or equitable interests of the debtor become property of an estate. that property of the state is construed extremely broadly. Any legal or equitable interest that a debtor has, any claims that the debtor has, any causes of action that the debtor has, if the debtor is a lessee, that's property of the estate. If the debtor's rights as a lessor, that's property of the estate. Any contingent claims that a debtor has, that's property of the estate, right? So federal law defines this broad stroke of what is property of the estate. State law determines, right, what the bundle of rights actually are. So federal law isn't going to determine, you know, what your rights are, what property rights you have. State law will still determine that. And those are Whiting Pools and Butner are the two cases that covered in every bankruptcy class throughout the United States. It's what every bankruptcy brief will have whenever they talk about property of the estate being construed broadly. And bankruptcy lawyers will try to stick virtually everything into the definition of property of the estate. But just remember, whatever state rights you have, whatever rights you had going into the bankruptcy case is the right that the company, the charter party, the charterer will have in the bankruptcy case.